Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wig.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And happy Friday, everybody.
Wow, someone has a lot of energy today. It is not me. it's very cold in my apartment right now. So I'm like very much in bed while we're recording. I watched Southern Charm this morning. I had a nice little iced coffee. You know,
you went for your walk?
I didn't go for a walk this morning.
Wait, but I thought you go get your iced coffee.
No, I was an adult and I bought a big bottle of cold brew at the grocery store.
Wow.
And so.
Okay. You prepped for this. You prepped for this.
I like going to get my coffee, but I also like having the option of not needing to go get my coffee. Mm-hmm. That being said, I'm very bad about keeping, because I only do iced coffee. So I'm like, I can't just make the coffee pot. Like, that's not my destiny.
Ugh, the peasants that make the coffee pots in the morning.
Make the coffee pot is like not the correct way to say that, I guess. But you know what I mean. I can't just have like a cup of hot coffee and be like good to go. That's not my journey.
Okay. I'm having hot coffee right now. I can't drink out of a straw because of my dental work that I've had for 10 days. So it's preventing me from having iced coffee. Can I drink iced coffee without a straw? Absolutely. But it's just like, no, you need the straw. You need it.
The people who listen to this show and don't have any other context are going to think your mouth is like falling off. My ongoing dental work, it's like a 2-year construction project.
Well, I'm sorry, not to make this about me, but if you have been listening, I sound a lot better. Like, I'm in a way better mood. Like, I'm ready to go. There, you can totally tell when I'm not feeling myself, and I was ill this week. So here we go.
Barry and I were on a Zoom meeting together on Tuesday afternoon, and I actually thought she was asleep. She was not, but the vibe check has improved, I would say, in the last 3 days. But maybe not so much with Real Housewives of Orange County, which I would say had a nice and sleepy finale this week.
Like, okay, I think in the beginning of the season, we called it a snooze fest, but like out of any finale in history, it was a try hard finale. We've discussed this. Oh my God. When I always say we discussed it, I always feel like the listeners feel like left out because like we discussed it prior, but usually we don't. We just have little like thoughts and we save it for the episode.
I only text you during an episode if there's something that I like need to like vent about. I'm like, oh my God, this episode to me it didn't have like finale energy. Nothing felt like a culmination. And I know they can't have a big party or be on a trip or anything like that because of COVID. But it's like, the drama is just not that compelling. Yeah. I don't know. So we start with Gina and Emily are meeting and talking about this whole stuff with Shannon and how Shannon says that Gina didn't check on her. And then there's the stuff about John. And basically, like, Shannon just seems like she's kind of a mess right now.
Okay, but did any of you have a flashback to this happening when Tamra was on the show? Because I did. I was like, this happened with Tamra and Shannon, where she was constantly complaining about Shannon not asking about her, but always being there for her, like her midnight phone calls and her breakdowns and everything. And so by Gina saying this, I was like, wow, like this is a reoccurring event. But Shannon to me is the type of person who just like needs a friend to lean on when like she's going through something, which I think she's now found in Gina. But you can never trust the Gina and Emily show. Like they're always talking about someone, aka think, like, Shannon.
I think there's nothing wrong necessarily with being a friend who is like a little more needy, and that definitely is Shannon. But also, if you are being a friend to that person, it's acceptable for you to like check in with yourself and be like, I don't think I'm getting out of this what I need from this friendship. And I feel like Shannon seems like kind of an exhausting person to be friends with. But also there's this weird dynamic in her relationship with John where clearly Shannon has told her that, you know, they're having issues or they're drinking too much or John is controlling or whatever. And she'll say this. And then the next day, Gina's like, okay, like, blah, 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 blah. This is what you told me. And Shannon is like almost mad at her for bringing it up. And I think this is something that is honestly, I don't want to be like presumptuous about Shannon's relationship, but it kind of sounds like your like classic emotionally abusive situation where it's like, if you're in that situation, maybe sometimes you can talk about it, but if you're still in it, you can't always be like super honest with yourself about what's going on.
Right, like you think she doesn't want to be 100% honest about her relationship with John? Is that what you're saying?
Not that she doesn't want to be, but I think like sometimes when you're still in a situation, you have to like tell yourself something. Mm-hmm. And so like she might have a moment where she is like really honest with herself and like telling Gina what's going on. But then it would make sense to me that the next day she might not really be able to like focus on that because she's just trying to like be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I hope for Shannon and John, from what we've seen, they look super cute together. Their families are cute. Like, I hope Shannon seems in a way better place. It's so crazy when you think back to like Shannon's wild seasons and you're like, wow, she came out of that like really on top. But so yeah, I don't know. I think that Shannon and Gina are just very different. This always happens. They're in different age brackets. They don't have a lot in common. And they could be like acquaintances or friends of the show, but to get deep like that, I don't know. I could be wrong.
I guess I forget that Shannon is like pushing 60 and Gina, I think, is still in her 30s.
Like so Addison, like Rae, and Courtney. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, like there is a pretty decent age gap between them. Yeah. Shannon, we have even more stuff about Shannon's daughter going to college, and Shannon's really sad that she didn't get to have her prom and her debutante ball, and that's a thing that we're
I was like, wait, what kind of toast is this? You didn't do this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this, but you will do great things. They all like looked at each other. It was
you'll
like,
do great things at Baylor in my Prada coat that I'm giving you that's like 20 years old, you know. Sophie's gonna have a great time at college, I'm sure.
Good luck to you, Sophie.
Let's just say I didn't cry at this send-off the way I did at Riley's. Okay, so then Elizabeth has the therapist over. I love that they're like, see, we got tested so we can do therapy in my house. I'm like, you know, everybody else could just do this over Zoom.
Yeah, also, that's happened in every other show and episode, too. They're like, everyone got tested, right? So, like, we don't need to wear a mask. Like,
right,
you didn't do it while you're on TV for 1 hour.
On Southern like, Charm last night, they're like, we booked the private shopping, so we don't have to wear the mask. And it's like, I get it. Thanks. I've been watching TV for a while now.
We'll talk about Southern Charm, but also they were like, you stay on that side of the store and I'll stay here. I was like, guys, this isn't how, let's all take a universal, like have a Zoom session and everyone can just like breathe.
I do love, yeah, it's funny to be on these shows when people will show up and instead of hugging, they like do the elbow thing to each other, and then they're just like hanging out together for hours with no masks. It's like, what? You could have just hugged at that point, like, whatever.
Yeah. So we need to talk about this, unless there's any other point you want to make about Elizabeth's therapy, because I don't.
I think, I mean, I honestly, like, it's nice to see her kind of opening up. I wish we would have seen this toward the beginning of the season.
Right. And like learn a little bit more about her.
Right. Because I do feel like we're peeling back some of the layers about, you know, maybe some of the things that she isn't truthful about, she's doing it for a reason. And maybe she needs to kind of get to the bottom of that. But at this point, it's like, I don't want her to come back next season. So I don't really feel invested in her journey.
Right. I completely agree. And in the back of my mind, I'm always like, you know what? Maybe she'll come back. They'll have her come back and be a breakout star her second season. I doubt it highly, but that's an option.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
So we see Emily hosting a party because apparently she was a party planner and she like loves hosting parties. So she's hosting party on the beach because they haven't been able to do anything because it's COVID. So she's still going to host a party. And it looked beautiful, to be honest. Like, all the women were there. Some of their husbands came late, others didn't. It was again, one of these beach parties we've learned over the years from every show. They're not what you expect them to be. Like, you have to have an end goal, either be like a chill lounge hangout or like a meal, or like, are we arguing? Are we setting the tone? Are we like talking about stuff? Or are we just like clear? I don't know. It was a mess to me, and it was not, I don't know, it just wasn't fun.
Well, yeah, it's weird. Like, they're all hanging out in this like patio area, and Bronwyn gives everyone these like personalized masks, which were like not as funny as they wanted them to.
Yeah, because you got the vibe. Were they supposed to be digs, or were they supposed to be like funny?
Well, yeah, like some of them were funny that it's like, the Elizabeth is the richest bitch in Newport Beach and like very fun. Okay, personally, I never again want to hear any reference to Fun Emily. Like, Fun Emily doesn't exist. It's a figment of her imagination. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't know. Like, I'm just over it. But so it's like, that sets the tone. But then it's like, none of these women actually like Bronwyn. So it's like, okay, she's giving this gift. Also, we know they don't like masks either. So like, whatever. But then they make their way over to the beach.
Which they're not allowed to bring alcohol to.
All of a sudden it's like, Shannon and Jean, oh my God. Like, why are you even there? Like, obviously, like, you don't need alcohol to have a good time. But it's like, this is a housewives party. Like, clearly these women want to drink too.
No, but they actually like made them leave their, I guess you can't drink on the beach. But I'd be like, hell no. That's why we all have flasks.
Right. Like, bring a water bottle. It's not that big of a deal. Or like a solo cup. I don't know. But yeah, so Shannon kind of like confronts Gina, and she basically is doing the same thing that Gina was talking about at the beginning of the episode, where she's like, I told you all, yes, I told you all this stuff about my relationship with John, but like, my relationship with John is fine. And it's like, I don't want to, you know, get mad at her for what she's going through or anything, but like, you can get why Gina would be frustrated with this, because she's like, I don't know how you want me to help you. Like, What more can I do? Like, you're not being receptive when I do try to help.
Right. Well, we've always got that from Shannon where it's, you are on eggshells because you don't want to say the wrong thing. She's that type of person to me where it's like you say one thing where you are being helpful and giving advice and she takes it the wrong way. And then you're hesitant to help again, because it's like, you know what? It's like when it goes to anybody, don't ask my opinion if you don't want it. Okay. Just don't.
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about this moment where I looked away for a second, and then all of a sudden Elizabeth is talking about how she's going to call Vince Neil.
Oh my God. I had such secondhand embarrassment. She was like, yeah, I want, she, she's first like, of all, yeah, she I said know. She wanted to set them up or just be friends. Like, I don't
she's
know.
Like, yeah, I know Vince Neil. Cause my music company, like I can just call him. No big deal.
Oh my God. And that was, she called in a random, first of all, they didn't even say who it was. And apparently this person had this phone number for 11 years. And
she's
it
like,
was,
oh, is this a new, no, I've had this number for 11 years. Who are you trying to call for? Oh, I just wanted to talk to Vince Neil. Like, girl, Vince Neil is from Motley Crue, which Gina didn't know either, but it's just like so uncomfortable.
Well,
and
I'm like, yeah, but then in her interview, she was like, okay, so what else shouldn't we believe? Because I'm sorry, that was a lot of confidence for her to just whip out her phone and be like, let me call him right now. And
Speaking of Elizabeth's like wacky bullshit, because this is the last time we're seeing it.
We are so mean.
Her Ferrari is parked down the street and they're like, wait, I thought that was for charity. And she's like, well, eventually I have to drive it for a year first. It's like, what?
She is one of those where it's all to impress. I've always said, if you have the money, you don't talk about it. It's all I know about her. It's literally all I know about her. Elizabeth, if you want to go to lunch one day and we can talk like and find out other things about each other, I'm down for that. Oh, but right now, I only know about your money and I don't care about it. But if we do go to lunch, you're paying.
So the finale ends basically with Bronwyn talking about how she doesn't like how conservative Newport Beach is. And basically, the other women, mainly Kelly, are like yelling at her. They're like, yeah, like if you wanted a liberal neighborhood, you should have moved to Laguna. Like, why do you move to Newport Beach?
Like, I grew up in Laguna. Why would I want to move back there? And I was like, is this really the argument that's happening in the finale?
Like, first of all, it's like, why is this the like a conflict on the show? But also it's like, why would you yell at someone? Like, Bronwyn isn't saying, like, nobody should be conservative. She's saying, like, it's hard for me sometimes living in such a conservative neighborhood. And,
like, I think they're just at their wits' end with Bronwyn. That's why.
Kelly is saying the tolerant is the most intolerant, which is, like, classic. I feel like classic, like, All Lives Matter, whatever, like, propaganda. But it's, like, yeah, like, clearly none of these women like Bronwyn. I have mixed feelings about Bronwyn. Like, I think she has... There are like some things I really like about her. She frustrates me other times, but like, it's clear that nobody in this group actually cares for her.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Her sitting at a table with these group of women who she hasn't opened up to recently about her marriage and what's going on, because she has said multiple times she still needs to figure it out. I just get very uncomfortable. So I can only imagine how she feels when all of them at once are like, what's going on? Well, what's going on? Are you in love with Chari? Are you in love with Sean? Like, that's not that, that is not something like,
yeah,
appropriate for that time. She has to figure that out. You can tell she's about to like explode because what she's going through is a lot. And I granted they can come back and be like, well, you're on a reality show. Okay. But things happen in your life where you're not ready to like,
yeah,
talk about yet. So at that side, I kind of feel bad and feel for Bronwyn. But at the other side, like, then you see her in her bedroom with Shari and like Sean comes in and she like, they like ignore him. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is so like weird and uncomfortable.
I will say, I'm not looking forward to this reunion just because I feel like it's going to be kind of painful with like the whole Bronwyn dynamic. Like, I just think obviously all these women have been like, they've been being like pretty outwardly mean to her on social media and like not being shy about that. And I feel like it's going to be unpleasant. I don't know. We'll see. It's only two parts, which I'm glad about. But
well, because you see at the beach where Elizabeth said she texted Bronwyn a really nice message and she read it and all Bronwyn responded was thank you. So then Bronwyn defended herself and she was like, did you tell them all the shit you were talking about me? And she was like, no. Elizabeth was like, no. Oh, and God. So that, like, you only saw one side of that, which is kind of like good for Bronwyn for pointing that out, because if she never said that, like, that's an editing situation.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students?
It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Marie, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about Southern Charm. So this week was the first part of the two-part finale, which apparently just means
the second
it's
to
two
last
episodes
episode.
Where it's two episodes where not that much happens in the first one. Like, this whole, obviously, like, the whole episode, like, some stuff happened, but a lot of it was kind of just setting up for, I guess, a lot of drama to happen at this party next week.
Yeah, I mean, I am glad that this episode basically started out with Madison being upfront and apologizing for her behavior, because I said this last week, like, she was very mean. Like, she was mean to Austin, and you could tell something was up, though. So she did say that she apologized for her behavior, but being around Austin, like, triggers her, basically, which we see for both of them. Like, they, and now it's affecting the group. Like, the two of them are bringing me back to, like, a high school relationship where you can't go to the same house party because, like, someone's going to be seen talking to somebody else. And it's just annoying because we had another episode of how hot Madison looks. And it's just, like, triggering for me.
Yeah, like, totally, they have that toxic energy that's affecting the group, which doesn't help when it's compounded with Catherine's toxic energy affecting the group. Like, two factors are a lot. It's weird, though. So Austin is like, okay, great. So, like, are you cool with me dating other people? And she's like, no, like, I'll never be happy. Like, I'll never like want you to date another person. It's like, Madison, like, I understand that it's, like, weird to see your ex moving on or, like, dating someone else. But in this situation, like, how is Austin supposed to win in this situation? Like, what is he supposed to do? And later in the episode, she's, like, with Vanita getting ready for this party. And she's totally like, oh, like, Austin's going to see me in this outfit and he can't touch, but he's not going to know what to do. Like, but, like, all she's thinking about is, like, fucking with Austin. And it's like, you both need to move on. Like, I think they're both doing a bad job of this, but, like, Madison especially, like, come on.
I think that, yeah, you're right. Madison is rubbing it in his face and trying to get him to be, like, jealous. Austin is just this poor kid still in love with her, and he's not doing anything to, like, make her jealous or make her mad. He's simply just existing. She doesn't
it's
like
hard
it.
Because it's like, I'm sure Madison is coming at it from an emotional place too, but it's manifesting in more of, like, she said I was a bitch. Like, it's coming across in a bitchy way. Whereas Austin, like, it's more just, like, pure, like, sadness.
I know. And he admitted, he's like, I'm still in love with you. And I was like, no, Austin, I love you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm like, I'm excited to see the end, their back and forth end, just because I feel like all season we've kind of been on this, like, annoying roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. But the other like main thing that we're dealing with this episode is sort of the continued issue of Catherine's mm-hmm. place in the group. This scene with Catherine calling her friend Jackie was like really cringe to me. First of all, Catherine is like, she pulls a tag off her blazer and then cracks open a can of Coke with her teeth and then is like browsing a baby gift website because she read online that Thomas had his baby a month ago. And I'm like, girl, yeah, you don't have to send a gift if you found out online a month after the fact that he had his baby.
She also is like, I don't know, like, are they siblings? Like, questioning it. But the thing is about her is something's off. I don't appreciate or enjoy watching her on TV. I feel like her thoughts are all over the place. Like, something is not right. And, yeah, you know, for a little bit, I was like, I was never defending her actions, but I was like, okay, maybe she'll learn from this. But like, she is like talking. I'm sorry. It is like watching or talking to a wall when she's on the screen.
Yeah. Sorry. And she basically is like,
sorry, not sorry.
Again, we haven't seen her really like own anything she did. And now she's like saying that she's mad at all the other people in the group. And I think especially the women for not kind of like speaking out on her behalf and saying that she's not racist.
Speak out on your own behalf.
Right. Like she has a platform, like Catherine specifically hasn't said the right things. So it's like, if I'm like Leva or Vanita or like anyone else in this situation, why would I go out on a limb and support someone who doesn't even seem that interested in actually like fixing the problem?
Mm-hmm.
And so Leva obviously is kind of still having a lot of issues with this. And we see her, she's talking with Danny about it at the store, which, like you were saying, they're like, quote unquote, social distance shopping. And it's like, that's not a thing. You're like running around the store.
Also, you guys have been together in public settings before. So I don't know why this shopping was different than any other.
Yeah, I don't know. We've seen a lot of shopping scenes this season, which is like, okay, like, I guess they have to pick out clothes, but like, usually we don't see it all the time. But so then at this party, first of all, this house is so weird.
It's Pringle's family friend's house.
It's a really nice house, but it's like, why are we here? I don't know. It's a little unclear to me, but basically Leva gets there before most of the group and she's talking to Shep and basically saying like, I don't understand why you guys are coddling Catherine. Like, she's done all this stuff and like, you are known for not coddling people. So why all of a sudden are you, you know, sticking up for Catherine? And he's like, well, you know, like, I've gotten in trouble for that in the past. And like, I'm trying not to not to be hard on people. And it's like, okay, but there's a difference because this is the one situation where it's like truly warranted. Like, it's not
right.
The same.
He's trying to be just not involved, which is
right.
One side. And then Leva said by him acting that way, that is like his white privilege. And so I understand that Shep is like, Catherine's not my responsibility. That's kind of how I saw him. He was like, I don't want any part of this. Yeah. But at the same time, we have seen that Shep is actually someone that Catherine like listens to and leans on and talks to. Right. So I think that's what they're hoping for. They're like, Shep, maybe you can like talk some sense into this girl. But the two, seeing Leva and Shep talk, like I was telling you earlier, like I want to see more fun from Leva. And it's unfortunate that she's had to be like this motherly figure this whole season. And like,
yeah, like I agree. Like, I think I've agreed with almost everything that she's been saying. Maybe sometimes not the delivery, but like in general, I am like team Leva 95% of the time. But it feels like she's so much more mature than like most of the other people on this show that it's like, I appreciate that energy, but I also would love to see just like more of a fun, you know, like it sucks that she's kind of been put in this position where she has to be like the one person in the cast really like holding Catherine accountable for this.
Right. And she did say she doesn't believe in cancel culture because there's no growth in that. Like, right. And, and so I feel like she is there to help no matter what. She's like, I'm literally just here to like, make sure you learn from your mistakes and like you're not. And but the thing is, listen, it's really complicated to watch. Like it's so Catherine wants no part in anything. We've seen this from the day one with her. She doesn't care about anything. So I don't know. It's hard to defend someone like that. So yeah, props to Leva for hanging on to this long. Right. For this.
So then the rest of the people show up, and it's interesting because she's talking to Pringle and Craig is there, and Pringle is basically like, you know, like, leave it alone. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, why are you still concerned with it? And basically Leva tells them, apparently it's the first they're hearing that it wasn't, it seems like the only thing that Craig and Pringle knew about was the monkey emoji. And Leva's telling them how there were all these other DMs about, like, your minority business isn't whatever. Like, I don't, like, have them in front of me, but all this stuff that kind of compounded the, like, one DM, the, like, emoji that it's like, oh, like, maybe she didn't know what it meant. But it's like, no, she was, like, carrying on this whole thing. And it's interesting that this whole time, apparently, somebody like Craig has been kind of sticking up for Catherine without actually understanding the depth of the situation. And it's like, yeah, that's classic, like, mediocre man behavior. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious at that point to see where it goes in the second episode of the season finale, yeah, because maybe we'll see more of a reaction, but TBD on that. I mean, we also see, I know, guys, I have, like, a crush on Austin, but Austin has finally come to the conclusion that he is moving on from Madison.
Yeah.
That is also TBD, because we'll, I don't see, believe
I
it.
I appreciated Austin's phone call with his friend Alexandra, who was like, you need to get off, like, leave the party. You need to, like, be done. Like, no more of these, like, weird relationship convos. Like, just end it.
I loved, though, when he came to the party and he, like, he could have said hi, but he kind of literally ignored Madison. And then Madison was like,
yeah, I mean,
I'm not having any of that. And she walked over to him and, like, asked him about it. She's like, you said hi and walked by. I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I've been Team Austin since day one. I'm sorry.
All these people are dummies. Like, just
you're a bunch okay of dummies. No, we love you. No, we don't.
Quickly, let's say who our number one Bravoleb in the group is. Also, I realized we didn't do this yesterday. So if you want to do somebody from Dallas or Salt Lake, feel free.
Okay, really quick before we do this, I have to call out that we did see Patricia and Whitney, and God. And she goes, can you help me with this? It's in the green thing. And she meant the green thing meant the messages part of her iPad.
Oh, yeah, her iMessage app.
I'm sorry. That was just a little tidbit because I love them. Okay, my Bravoleb. Oh, you go first. You know what? When I can't think, you go first.
I'm going to go with Gina. Weirdly, at the end of the season, Gina's like the one person in OC that I actually feel like I have, like, positive feelings toward, which I never thought I would say. But,
well, yeah, we'll also give Gina most growth for this season, because in the beginning we were not having it.
Most growth in character and also in hair.
Yes. Okay. Yes. This is going to be a little bit of a shock, but I am giving my Bravoleb to Craig this week, not because he was clueless about with Catherine, like, ignore that part. I loved the date he set up for him and Natalie. I thought that was very sweet. They haven't said I love you yet, but he has moved on from Naomi. He has great feelings for Natalie. And, like, this date was one of the cutest things I've ever seen. So, and props, like, he's kind of like the narrator right now. Like, Cam's shoes were big to fill.
I know. That was weird to see. We will be back with another episode on Tuesday, because Monday is a holiday. So we will be back on Tuesday next week. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast, and follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
Betches.